Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Antero Healthcare Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhay Chalke from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ritika. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Antero Healthcare Solutions Limited Q1 FY25 earnings call hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities. On the call today, we have representing Antero Healthcare Solutions, the management team comprises of Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. C.V. Ram, CFO. I will now hand over the call to the management team to make the opening comment, and then we will open the floor for questions. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Abhay. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for Q1 FY25. On this call, I'm joined by Ram, Group CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and also on our company's website. I shall provide a brief overview of the key operational highlights, after which Ram will take you through the highlights of our Q1 FY25 financial performance. Before I delve into the specifics of our Q1 operational performance, I would like to highlight the strong foundation we have built over the years and the strategic direction we are heading towards. Antero Healthcare continues to be one of India's largest and fastest-growing healthcare product distribution platforms. Our vision remains focused on creating an organized, pan-India, technology-driven, and integrated healthcare product distribution network that adds value across the entire healthcare ecosystem. Given the fragmentation and unorganized nature of current healthcare distribution in the country, which essentially inhibits unlocking of efficiencies, adoption of technology, and benefits of scale, we believe that Antero is on the forefront of driving consolidation and associated benefits in supply chain. We have once again delivered industry-leading growth with consolidated revenues of rupees 1,097 crores, representing a 22% year-on-year increase from rupees 899 crores in Q1 FY24. This growth is significantly higher than the Indian pharmaceutical market growth rate of 9% during the same period. This is driven by continuous expansion in customer base, increase in wallet share, geographic coverage, and product portfolio expansion. As we keep expanding our pan-India network, including getting into Tier 2 cities and beyond, our value proposition to both healthcare product manufacturers and customers keeps getting stronger. Our gross margins increased by 26%, EBITDA by 17%, and profit after tax by 219% over the previous year quarter. We are continuing to focus on margin expansion through procurement efficiencies, business mix, and operating leverage, which should yield positive results in the rest of the year. This would be further detailed by Ram in his commentary. Our growth strategy remains centered around both organic expansion and strategic acquisitions. On the acquisition front, we have made significant progress in the current fiscal year. Till date in calendar year 2024, we have announced 10 acquisitions contributing rupees 830 crores in revenue, of which five acquisitions generating rupees 315 crores in revenue have already been closed. The remaining acquisition of four entities contributing rupees 433 crore in revenue, are expected to close in quarter 2 FY25, while the closing of one acquisition with revenue of rupees 82 crore might spill over to quarter 3. So far, the 10 acquisitions announced strategically cater to three objectives: consolidation in existing geographies, you know, which is representing 31% of revenue acquisition; adoption of new or addition of new geographies, which is 32%, and new product portfolio, which is 37%. Most of these entities enjoy leadership position in their business segments and territory and significantly enhance our network value proposition. With the acquisition of Fearless Biotech, we have also expanded our product portfolio into synergistic product segments like medical devices and diagnostic equipment and consumables. These acquisitions are margin accretive with a blended EBITDA margin in the range of 6-8%, which would further enhance our profitability, while at the same time we have remained extremely disciplined and financially prudent in our acquisition approach. The impact of these acquisitions on our revenues, EBITDA margins and ROCE have been highlighted in our investor presentation and would be detailed out by Ram in his remarks. We are confident in our ability to achieve our FY25 revenue growth guidance of 35% plus, driven by both organic growth and our acquisition strategy. This growth would be accompanied by expansion in operating profitability margins over last year, supported by procurement efficiencies, improved business mix, and the operating leverage that comes with our growing scale. I would like to thank our team for their relentless efforts and our shareholders for their continued support. With this, I will now request Ram to summarize the company's financial performance for quarter 1 FY25.
Thank you, Prabhat. Good afternoon, everyone. Coming to Q1 FY25 consolidated financial highlights, revenue for Q1 is at 1,097 crores with a growth of 22% on year-on-year basis. We recorded a gross profit of 9.1% in Q1 FY25 vis-a-vis 8.8% last year, an improvement of 27 basis points. As Prabhat mentioned, this is primarily driven by gross margin expansion, driven by the procurement efficiencies and an optimized product mix. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 30 crores with a growth of 17% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin stood at 2.8%. We have initiated and undertaken several acquisitions in Q1 FY25. However, these acquisitions come with associated costs, particularly few one-time expenses, including due diligence expenses. We are also actively investing in human resources to support the integration and scaling of these new acquisitions, which while incurring upfront costs is essential for driving long-term growth. As such, these acquisition-related costs had a moderating effect on our Q1 FY25 operating margins. As mentioned by Prabhat, till date, we have announced 10 acquisitions with a combined revenue of rupees 830 crores per annum. The blended EBITDA margin from these acquisitions is expected to be in the range of 6-8%, which will improve our consolidated margins and ROCE. Coming to profit after tax for the quarter, is at rupees 21 crores, registering a growth of 219% on year-on-year basis. This spurt is on account of higher EBITDA and optimized net finance costs. On the working capital front, our working capital days as on 30th June stood at 71 days compared to 67 days as of last year, 30th June 2023. One of the reasons for slightly higher NWC is revenue from new acquisitions is partly recognized while the NWC is fully recorded in the books on completion of acquisitions. The substantial impact of our inorganic growth strategy, particularly from the announced acquisitions, will start to be reflecting in our financial performance beginning Q3 FY25, even though partial impact will be reflected from Q2 onwards. The integration of these acquisitions into the Entero ecosystem will unlock operating leverage through scale and further optimize our business mix. With the contributions from recent acquisitions on pro forma basis, EBITDA margin to improve from 2.8% to 3.5%, and ROCE to improve from 9.2% to 14%. This is indicative of the margin accretive nature of our recent acquisitions. This is besides the synergy benefits on revenue margins that we expect to realize once we integrate these businesses fully into Entero businesses. Please note that these impacts are purely on account of acquisitions, excluding any positive impact from the growth and various margin improvement initiatives in progress in organic business. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Gautam Gosar from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question is on acquisitions. So, sir, you provided data for only a couple of acquisitions where we could figure out the valuations at what valuation basically the acquisitions were done. So, for example, Sai Pharma Distributor, you've acquired 70% for 77 crores, which takes the company valuation to 110 crores, and the FY24 sales were 220 crores. So, it was done at around 0.5 times sales, and similarly, if you calculate Peerless Biotech, it was done at more than one time sales versus our guidance of around 0.25 to 0.3 times sales. So what is leading to this higher valuations which we are giving to the companies is my first question.
Yeah, I got them. This Prabhat here. So, you know, as we said in the presentation also that we have not, we have maintained our acquisition multiples in line with the historical numbers, right? We are valuing any company based on the EBITDA multiple and not on revenue multiple. Okay, so on the EBITDA multiple, multiples, the multiples that we have paid are in line with, single digit numbers that we have paid historically.
Okay, any broad range, sir, which you would give us? And, sir, also one request, if you could give this in the notification which you give, it's better for the investment community to analyze your company better.
So we are making the necessary disclosures in line with the regulations, Gautam. Okay, if you have to take a number, as we told you that, in mid to high single digit is what we are paying, So, you can take it between 5 to 8 times of EBITDA multiples.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. And secondly, sir, on margin, since you have mentioned that these companies which you have acquired have done EBITDA, are doing EBITDA margins in the range of around 6 to 8%. Sir, any margin guidance which you would like to give for this year since your target is reaching around 4.5% to 5% in a couple of years? How are we moving in that trajectory and what is our guidance for this year?
See, as you would note, Gautam, that, we have given you a pro forma, numbers after baking in all the, acquisitions, right? And that itself is taking us to 3.5% in the presentation you would see.
Right.
And that excludes any synergy benefits and any improvement on the organic business. So, we are inching closer towards that 4% kind of a number, And once these things are baked in, which is going to happen in next one quarter, and improvement in organic business, we should be inching towards that.
Okay, understood. So lastly, on working capital, so since you also told us in your opening remarks like why it has increased, sir, over the year, we should assume that this should normalize to what the number was previous year?
Ram, I think historically
we have been reducing, this from a 74 to we have come to 67 over 2 years. if you look at FY24. So we would like to, you know, have similar kind of a reduction over next 2 years as well.
Okay, so this number should be below 67 days is what you are trying to say, right?
Definitely. I think it will be around that. It will be over next 2 years, there will be at least 5 to 7 days reduction. And by March, definitely you will see that.
Okay, honestly. Thank you so much. That's it. All the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah, Jeet Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, two quick questions, just continuation on the acquisition side. If you can, and my sincere apology because I am like interacting with the management for the first time, so it may sound a very novice question. Sir, in terms of your acquisition strategy, will that be more focused on a vertical of a distribution network or a more focused on a geographical side spread? If you can give some sense on that, one is that. Second, when you mentioned in your opening remark and that most of these acquisitions are earning accretive in the because they are small in size when you are acquiring and come in our system, our distribution system, synergy of operation helps and expands the margin. So if you can throw some little more light on that, that will be helpful. And my last question is on a working capital. What you think is the most optimum level of working capital which we can achieve once we achieve some size and scale from the current level of top line? These are the three basic questions I have. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Let me take the first question first. You know, you talked about to give a little more color on the acquisition. So acquisitions, you know, as you see in our targeted or stated objective, even in the prospectus, that we are targeting three kinds of acquisition. One is where we are adding new geographies through those acquisition, entering new markets, basically. You know, and some of these acquisitions is towards that. For example, we have acquired an entity in Khammam, we have acquired an entity in Bijapur. Right? These are, you know, we have acquired an entity in Trivandrum, right? These are the entities where, these are the markets where we were not present, right? So this opened up new markets for us. Second, you know, category is on expanding the product portfolio where, you know, traditionally those kind of products we were not working on before, right? For example, Peerless Biotech is a great example of that. You know, it gives us entry into medical devices and diagnostic equipment and consumables that we were not doing before, right? So it expands. It's the same set of customers. We can sell more products now. And third is, you know, strengthening our positioning in the existing market. You know, for example, Sai Pharma, somebody mentioned, you know, helps us to double our market share in Hyderabad, right? So, you know, these are the broadly the three categories of, you know, acquisitions we are making, which is in line with what we, you know, also disclose in our prospectus. And we have given a breakup also for these three categories in our investor presentation. What was your second and third one?
Sir, my second question was, I was just trying to understand, you actually partly answered that question over here. But I was trying to understand that when you acquire this businesses vertical or geography wise, how does the margin improvement both at gross and at EBITDA level changes? Is it because of the consolidation of the player or is it also because of the mix of the product what you offer to the consumer? Because in your PPT you mentioned about the SKUs, what we cover and also the state and the district, what we have expanded to. So once again, apology because I'm just trying to ask two basic questions, but seeing your company for the first time. So
sure. When you acquire an entity and when it gets integrated to Entero ecosystem, they greatly benefit from, you know, from consolidation into Entero. Number one, there is a lot of synergy on the top line of the acquired entities. You know, we expand their product portfolio. Suppose we acquire a distributor which is offering only X category of products. But in Entero, we have far bigger product portfolio which we can offload in that market through that entity, right? So it expands, you know, their product range. We also, you know, deploy our technology to give better customer buying experience, which enhances their wallet share. And we also enhance their geographic coverage. So, you know, on the top line side, there are many synergies available between, you know, Entero and acquired entity. And through that, we expand our, you know, operating leverage. The company grows far more than what they had been historically growing, right? That's number one. Number two, on the procurement side also, we get a lot of synergies which helps to improve the margins, you know, because, you know, they get the advantage of Entero buying scale, right? Because Entero is a, you know, network of many entities spread across India. So, you know, our buying power is far more than the buying power of that particular entity, right? So, there also they gain quite a bit. So, these are some of the ways where, you know, we expand both the top line as well as the bottom line of the acquired entities.
Got it. And sir, last question was on a working capital cycle. Ram sir was explaining that 67 will go down a little bit, but what is your like most comfortable level of working capital cycle which you will be looking at? If you can just help me with that.
I think, you know, somewhere around between 60, you know, 60 is a good number if you can touch, you know, in terms of working capital cycle. Given the business mix that we have today, you know, because, you know, the working capital cycle is different for, you know, trade entities or retail business, which is supplying to the retailers. And it's a little bit different when you are supplying to the hospital. So depending on the mix of the business that you have, you know, I would suggest that 60 to 65 is a good range for a very short-term target for us.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Other than us, who will be the, like, nearest competitor if I want to look at it? Is it KI Med or, like, who will be the guys? One should be KI Med or Apollo's network, both retail and medical, hospital medicine.
So, you know, there are no listed peers, you know, for us, you know, in
right.
distribution business. So, you know, the people who are actually playing at a national pan-India level is KeyMed, as you mentioned, and also Ascent, which is part of API Holding.
Correct. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati, Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Hope I'm audible. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations on such an outstanding quarterly result. My question is, there's around 240 crores IPO proceeds available for acquisition purposes. But let's say after 3 to 5 years down the line, once it gets exhausted, how we are planning to, you know, acquire, as businesses mostly depends on inorganic growth. Will this be done through QIP or say debt? But I believe debt might be difficult as this might hit the margin. So could you please guide on this?
You know, so we have raised, you know, 1,000 crores through IPO, right? Okay, that is sufficient for us for next 2-3 years of you know, acquisition targets, right? Beyond that, the company will start generating enough internal accruals to do marginal acquisitions, right? Because the acquisition intensity would also decrease beyond after a point in time. And, you know, with the reduced acquisition intensity and internal approval generation, we don't see any reason to hit the capital markets again in next 2-3 years time frame.
Okay, all right, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Midhin. Please go ahead, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, the current participant is not able to join. The next question is from Nitin Agarwal. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Prabhat, just sort of going back to your slide 7 in the presentation. So when you mentioned that 350 crores is the net investment value, 305 crores, this is the payout that you've done for acquiring this 830 crores of revenues. Is that how to understand that?
Yes. This is including, you know, what we have paid and what we will be paying. Yeah.
Upon closing.
Upon closing, yeah.
and this gives us 77% of the revenue ownership of the 830 crores that we bought.
That's good. I mean, revenue ownership will be 100%. The equity ownership will be
77%. Yes. Yes. And typically, Prabhat, how does it work? In how many years do you typically buy out the balance, or does it never really happen at a point in time?
So for all the remaining stake, we always have a call option. You know, so it is up to us. You know, we have a time frame to exercise the call option. You know, sometimes it is for part of the stake, it is after 1 year, part of the stake, it is after 3 years, right? So we have an option to acquire balance stake at a predetermined valuation.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, on, you know, the operational highlight slide, which is 5, you mentioned that currently we're reaching out about 60,000 odd customer retailers. Where would you, this number, want to sort of, want you to settle at over the next, say, 2 or 3 years? What is the aspirational number or number that you would want to be at a point where you don't really need to acquire, you need to probably go a little easy on in terms of adding, geographically expanding the business?
I would say, you know, anywhere between 150 to 200,000.
And how much time do you think it will take you for you to get there?
3 years.
Okay. So in terms of the incremental acquisitions that you will do, a lot of our acquisitions incrementally should be targeted towards getting to newer geographies, or it's, how do you, like, again, the split that you've given, one third each or thereabouts, how do you see acquisition objective playing out in our future transactions?
Yeah, so, you know, the customer acquisition is happening not only through inorganic. Organically also we are adding a lot of customers. Okay. So when I said that 150 to 200,000, not all of it will come from inorganic and entering into new geography. Even with existing, you know, we have 85 warehouses in the country, which is, you know, very fairly well spread out. So from those warehouses, we can target even more customers than what we are targeting now.
Okay. And lastly, Ram, what was our organic growth for the quarter versus, you know, for this year? I mean, in Q1?
16%.
This is not taking into impact the recent acquisitions on a like-to-like basis?
That's correct.
And how do we see this organic growth on a going forward basis?
See, we have, you know, always maintained this kind of a guidance that we are targeting to grow 2x of the industry growth rate, right? So this quarter, the industry grew by 9%, right? So, and we grew by 16%. Our aspiration of our team and, you know, the focus and efforts of our team is trying to deliver a growth which is close to 2x of industry growth rate.
Okay. And lastly, Prabhat, the new acquisition that you've done where you mentioned, 6 to 8% EBITDA margin. So is this EBITDA margin on average skewed towards by one of these couple of transactions, or this is the kind of average number which is there across all the transactions that you've done?
It's not,
blended average, Nitin. This is the blended average.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from Jefferies India Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Prabhat. Just one question. So with one of your bigger competitors, I'm referring to Keymed here, it is also looking for acquisitions. Your size is also growing. So are there meaningful assets available for acquisition, say, distributors with 100 crore plus revenues in the market for you guys to consolidate further?
No, these 100 crore plus, acquisition targets are dwindling by the day, right? So we have picked up many 100 crore targets, in the 10 acquisition that we have disclosed, right? So going forward, you know, after 1 or 2 years, not many targets will be available which will have a revenue of more than 100 crores.
So then after 2-3 years, like you also mentioned, the acquisition intensity will slow down and focus will then shift to organic growth.
Yes, yes, beyond a point, and then by that time we would be present in all the major geographies, right? So those 100 crore plus targets are mostly available in those geographies which are like metro cities or large cities, right? So once everyone is present there, then if you go to tier 2, tier 3 cities, for example, like we went to Khammam or Ujjain or Bijapur, you won't find 100 crore entities there. The market itself is, the market size there itself is like 250-300 crores.
But Prabhat, quite a few areas you are still not present. For example, if you see East India, or if you consider some parts of North and even West, the company does not have a very big presence. It's more South heavy. So even in those markets, if you want to make entry, would you find such targets?
Yeah, for example, East, you can find targets in Calcutta, for those kind of numbers. You can find certain targets in Odisha for those kind of numbers, right? So in the East specifically, even in North India, there are targets available in those, 100 crore plus revenue range.
Correct. And Prabhat, in the past you mentioned some markets, the organized players collectively have more than 50% share, whereas in other markets, the share is still quite small. So in those markets where the share is still quite small, why has that been the case? Where is the evolution still to happen? How do you see your positioning in those markets?
So, many markets where all three are present, there the collective shares are pretty high, But there are many markets where all three of us are not even present. Either one of them are present or two of them or none of them are present. So those markets, our stated goal is to enter into all the large markets. So we are going after it. I as of now, what I understand, Ascent API have not been that acquisitive in last 1 year, right? Keymed, we'll see, how they, after their recent, fund infusion, what will be their strategy to enter new markets and drive consolidation.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Jeet Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just one question. Between the retailer and hospital customer, how is the gross margin difference over there, if it is possible to share?
Not the gross margins are not significantly different, I would say.
Okay. It's more or less same, or there is like 5% delta between the two?
It depends on customer to customer, on a segment level, it's not much different.
So do we manage any hospital OPDs like, or we don't?
We have just recently started doing one.
Okay. Done. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask question may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from Ashok Mishra, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir. Sorry, the next question is from Akshay Chain, Poem Capital. Seems like the current participants have been disconnected. Participant who wish to ask question may please press star and one now. The next question is from Amey Chalke. Please go ahead, sir. So your line is unmuted. You can go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Sorry, very much audible.
Yeah,
Thank you so much. Prabhat, I have one question on the acquisition front. I'm sure since we are doing acquisitions for the growth purpose, and it, at present is the main focus. So what has been the challenges so far in the acquisitions we have done in the past? And if you can explain how those challenges we have overcome.
Yeah, thank you, Aman. One thing I just wanted to clarify for the benefit of everyone that, you know, acquisition is a strategy. It's not an end outcome, you know. End outcome is to create a pan-India network where we can service customers all across the India and provide a lot of value to healthcare product manufacturers, you know, and you can reach there either organically or inorganically, right? And we are using a mix of both organic and inorganic strategy to expand our country network. Okay. Now, coming back to your question on, what has been the challenges in past acquisitions. Okay. See, I think the most important challenge one faces is integrating the existing team with the acquired team, right? Other than that, the value proposition post-acquisition is significantly enhanced for the target, because for the reasons that I mentioned in the earlier part of the call, that, you know, we can provide lot bigger platform to these guys to grow. And that's the reason, you know, some of the very marquee names in pharma industry, pharma distribution, you know, people who have been market leaders in their territory for years, you know, for decades, have chosen to join hands with us, you know, because they believe in this, you know, potential. They believe in this potential that they can do far better if they, you know, join hands with Entero, right? And, you know, some of these acquisitions that we have announced recently also, you would see that some of these guys were like leaders in that market, very strong goodwill of theirs in that relevant market, right? So, you know, and the reason why they are joining hands is they know that together we can do much better. Challenges, as I mentioned, is mainly the integration, you know, aligning them to our way of working, you know, the way we report number, the way we conduct business, right? And which we have handled effectively well, I would say, because we have now experience of doing close to 40 integrations in the company. So it's, the playbook is pretty clear. People are more aligned. They know what to expect from each other. So, you know, this process has been refined quite well over the last 5 years, I would say.
And when we do these acquisitions, generally the value which we pay, how much would be the intangible and how much would be the tangible proportion? And I assume that what we acquire is basically the relationship, existing relationship with those of those distributors. Also, there would be some physical assets, right? And along with the working capital. Is there anything else which we get when we acquire?
So as you said, you know, when we disclose the acquisition value, it includes both the intangible part and also the, you know, the tangible assets that we get at the time of closing, right? So, you know, the percentage between division between intangible and tangible depends on, you know, how efficiently they have been managing business. But I think it's for 35?
Yeah, 35 to 50%, depending on, because we pay the EBITDA multiple. This is the profit multiple we pay. It's usually ranges between 35 to 50%.
Okay. So 35 would be tangible basically and remaining would be intangible.
No, the other way.
Okay, other way. Okay, got it. Sure. And so far, how much SKU we have covered across India and how much retailers we have covered? And assuming on next 2 years, the acquisition targets we have in mind, how much we will be able to increase our market share?
See, now we are doing almost 65,000 SKUs, you know. In India, more than 150,000 SKUs are available in pharma alone, right? And this SKU range is evolving every day because, you know, there are a lot of new small regional local level pharma companies coming up. You know, you would see that, you know, as I mentioned before in my call also, that the barrier to entry is very low in the pharma side, right? So, you know, a lot of companies which operate at a, you know, regional level, local level, they don't have a pan-India national presence, but they have good, they are delivering good numbers at local level, right? So this SKU range keeps on evolving. You know, every day there is a new pharma coming up, pharma company coming up, and they are launching the products in a different trademark. On the customer side, I highlighted before, you know, we are, you know, last, on an annual basis, if you look at last year, we had around 86,000 plus retail customers. That's almost 10% of India's customer base. So already we have, you know, on a customer count basis, we had already reached almost 10% of India's retail customer base.
Sure. And there is one more part of direct deals with some of the manufacturers for some products. Is it possible to highlight how that piece is moving and going ahead, any attractive deals which are there in the pipe which you want to highlight? Like the one we do it with Abbott selling that device product. So is there any such deals which we should be aware of, basically, which will going ahead drive the sales?
So we don't disclose anticipated deals. You know, once it happens, we will definitely make a disclosure.
So at present, how much the contribution coming in from such targets?
You're saying contribution from where we are marketing rights?
Yeah.
It's around... Yeah, around 5%, I would say.
Sure. But here our margins would be on the higher side, right, compared to the...
Yes.
Sure. So going ahead, you expect this 5% to move up sharply, or you expect it will remain in the single digit?
So it will become even more challenging now, because, you know, you are acquiring a lot of entities on the distribution side, which is increasing your base. You know, so for example, we have announced 830 crores of acquisitions. When it gets fully reflected in financial, just to maintain 5%, you will have to add 40 crores, no?
Right.
On this. So I think it's a decent number, 5%. And our efforts is to get as many contracts as possible on the marketing side.
Sure. Thank you so much. I will join back.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from Ashok Midhin, individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations, Mr. Prabhat and team, for a great set of numbers. So I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the acquisition related. So in the recent communications with the stock exchanges, actually, there are some delays with respect to two or three acquisitions which are supposed to complete by July 31st, and now the expected date of completion would be around September 30th. So could you please throw some light on the reasons behind it and the portion of revenues which would be anticipated from those delayed acquisitions?
So those three, to be honest, you know, one of the acquisition we already have 85% stake, and we had, you know, we were supposed to buy the balance 15%, okay. And the seller traveled abroad, so we couldn't complete it. It's not, I mean, the entire revenue and all is already there in our books even today, because we own 85% of the company, and only 15% we were supposed to acquire. That got delayed, right? Another acquisition, which was very small, I think it was somewhere in the range of, you know, very small numbers, that, you know, that person traveled abroad for a month. He's going to be back before end of this month, and we will close that out in next 30 days, I would say.
Great. That's helpful, sir. One more question. When do you expect our cash flow from operations turning positive? Maybe like 2 to 3 years down the line, you would expect that to happen, or will it take more time?
Yeah, definitely. I think by next year, if organic should start delivering positive cash flows, organic business from FY26 onwards.
Oh, great, sir. Thank you very much. And one last question, sir. So I hope the acquisition targets as on date we are going ahead with our estimated timelines of completing all the 1,000 crore acquisition target by September 30th. So would you like to keep the revenue guidance of 35% to 40% on the top line and the margin improvement of 100 basis points as mentioned in the previous earnings call? Or how is that happening?
Yeah, no change in the guidance.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's really helpful. Once again, congrats on the great set of numbers.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Akshay Jain, Poem Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. My specific query is with respect to employee expense, right? Last quarter, it was around 37 crore. Now it is 43 crore. Any specific reason for increase, or is it increment, or it is because of the new acquisition specifically?
Yeah, it includes inorganic acquisitions. And also, if you are comparing with last year, sorry, previous quarter, then there is in the first quarter, there will be salary cost increments also that in the Q1. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one now. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from Raj, Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
All right, so for FY 2025, we are expecting sales of around 5,300 crore in.
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
For FY 2025 full year, are we expecting the sales of around 5,300 crore range, somewhere around that, if we take 35% to 40% growth?
I mean, if you dial in 35% over last year, yes.
So it would be including the acquisitions, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How much of EBITDA are we expecting? I will skip the part on the EBITDA, sorry.
Sorry?
Full year EBITDA range will be around 4% to 5%, am I right?
No, we have not given any such guidance, no, that it will be 4% or 5%, right?
All right. And sir, for FY 2026.
FY 2026, we have not given any guidance for FY 2026. Once we reach there, we'll give you.
All right. So sir, overall in FY 2025, are we expecting an improvement in our EBITDA percentage compared to?
Yes, we are definitely expecting improvement in EBITDA margins over last year. Did you answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hi. I would like to thank everybody for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Thank you once again, and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you can now disconnect your lines.